and gentlemen, please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Now, for opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn the call over to Ms. Christy Snyder. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, Richard, and welcome, everyone, to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Christy Snyder, and I will be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and within 24 to 48 hours, an MP3 file and presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. You may replay it at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available to you from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Today's presenter is Jim Lee. Jim joined IBM WebSphere Application Server Level 2 support in 2002. In this capacity, he is responsible for customer support for Edge Component, Web Server plugins, and WebSphere Application Server installation. He is the focal point for caching proxy, GSKit, and iCommand components. Today's topic is an introduction to IBM caching proxy and troubleshooting. It will include a PowerPoint presentation. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask attendees to answer a few quick questions via e-meeting polling. After that, the lines will open for a question and answer period. If you are in the e-meeting, you will see the presentation. If you are unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site or by going to any IBM.com site and typing 7007529 in the search box in the black section at the very top of the page. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Jim. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Jim Lee from IBM WebSphere Level 2 Support. Today, I will present IBM Caching Proxy and its troubleshooting. In past several years, I have worked with IBM Caching Proxy PMRs and also worked with many IBM Caching Proxy customers. Maybe some of you, also I work with most of you today on PMRs. Working with IBM Caching Proxy, PMR, and with working with customers, making me understand Caching Proxy better. So I have accumulated some experience and knowledge about Caching Proxy, so I would like to share with you today. Page 2. Today I will talk those topics like network overview of caching proxy and some basic features, functions of the proxy server. In network overview, I will talk about the roles of a caching proxy server in an enterprise network. And in caching proxy overview, I will briefly review the version history and support platform. And on the caching proxy basics, I will talk some features and new features, some changes and configures. So I think a lot of people are interested in the problem determination, so I will talk about that later. And if I have time, I will present a couple of demos. Page 3. Page 3 is a overview of a network, of the enterprise network. So I apologize to you. This graph isn't so great. So after it converts from PowerPoint file to PDF file, some text and change. So I apologize to you. So let me take time to explain this graph. So from the left, there's internet. and the far right, that's enterprise internet. So between, you can see two firewalls. We call that DMZ. In general, the proxy server is put in the between of the firewalls. And when proxy server get a request from a client from internet, the proxy will send the request to backend server. Then, after the backend server send the request back to proxy, then proxy will serve the request to the client. So within DMZ, you have proxy server. You can also configure the proxy server with LDAP or our other plugins. So that's a brief overview of the proxy in a network. Page 4. Page 4 lists a brief history of the cutting proxy. The cutting proxy was called Web Traffic Express. That was about 6 or 7 years ago. The version was 3.0, and IBM also released WTE 3.5 and 3.6. All those WTE is in under end of service, but some users still call cutting proxy as WTE. From WTE 3.6, IBM bundled WTE with network dispatcher, the bundled package called Edge Server. The version was 1.0. So, since version 1 released in 2002, IBM released cutting proxy 4.0, that was in Edge Server 2.0. Just one more point here is the cutting proxy 4.0 will be in EOS, that means end of service. So in other words, if a customer does not have special contract with IBM, the IBM support will not working on the PMR. So from a cutting proxy 5.0, IBM have synchronized the version with the WebSphere version, because from a cutting proxy 5.0, we renamed Edge Server as a Edge component. So since 5.0, what 5.0, all the version is same as WebSphere application server. So just one more point here is what 6.0 is not released yet. So it will in the future. Let's go to page 5, please. Why should we use a proxy server in a network? So in other words, what benefit of a proxy server can provide? So the major benefits of the cutting proxy is caching and proxy. With caching, cutting proxy server save the files in local cache file. If a client from the internet requests the same file, the proxy server will not get the file from backend server. Instead, it serves the request from local cache. So in this way, with the caching, the cutting proxy will reduce the network bandwidth. That means they will have better service performance. Another key benefit is proxying. So because of the content is offloaded from servers, so it's very easy to add or remove a server. Therefore, the scalability is much better. Another point is with using proxy server in DMZ, the security of the network will be improved. Let's go to page 6, please. In this page, I summarize the support platform for Hetman Proxy 5.0 and 5.1. So, for example, AX, 4.3 and 5.1, all those is supported. But a couple points I need to make is for Solaris and Solaris 8, Solaris 7 and Solaris 8, we only support 32 bits. On Red Hat 8.0, and you must upgrade to glibc to 2.3.1. On SUSE, we need to apply Service Pack 1. So basically, all this information will be is available on the IBM Info Center. Let's go to page 7, please. Page 7 lists a support platform for Hetman Proxy 6.0 and 6.0.1. Here, the 6.1 is a typo, so I'm sorry about that, because 6.1 is not released yet. So this page only lists popular OS. For more detailed information, like about supported platform, you can find it from this URL from IBM website. So let's go to page 8.
And while the screen is painting, I'd like to remind everyone that if you are unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation by going to any IBM.com site and typing 7007529 in the search box in the black section at the very top of the page. Thank you.
In page 8, we have it's about Hetman Proxy installation. Hetman Proxy provides two ways for install. One is GUI installer, and the second is operating system native installer. Who use a GUI installer, a Java must be installed. So from time to time, we have received a lot of PMRs about GUI installer. So more and more users use OS native package installer. It works pretty well. So for example, on Linux use RPM, AX use Smith, and PKG add on Solaris, and so on. So on Windows, just run setup. It's based on install shell. A couple of points I need to make here is, if you use the OS installer, usually you need to follow this order. Install GSK, then install ICU component, and install admin, and CP base. So another point is, if you want to install cumulative fix or upgrade Hetman Proxy to the newer version, you have to have the Hetman Proxy base or earlier version installed, because we just release those cumulative fix. All those cumulative fix can be downloaded from IBM web FTP server, but those FTP site is protected by password. And so if you need proxy two-minute fix, please contact IBM Level 2 support. Let's go to page 9, please. To uninstall Cutting Proxy, you may either use a GUI uninstaller or OS native package too. So most people prefer use native package too, like RPM on Linux or install p-ug on X. It works quite well. So I don't say many PMRs about uninstall. So I don't see many problem. It works pretty well with this native patch too. Let's go to page 10, please. There are several ways to start or stop IBM Proxy Server. For example, on AX, you can use the start SRC start to start IBM Proxy. And another way to start, just have IBM Proxy in a command window. If you want to stop, you can run command like start SRC stop, or just use a Q-9, the process ID of the IBM Proxy. It works too. So basically on Unix, Linux, they're similar. But on Windows, there are also a couple ways to start, stop the proxy server. You know, from the Windows service, you can start, stop. Another way to start is from the start program files and IBM WebSphere Edge Server Cutting Proxy. So it's pretty straightforward. Let's go to page 11. So, cutting proxy can be, the major function is proxy and cutting. So, beyond that, we also have the security features. So, for example, proxying, we can configure cutting proxy server with a reverse proxy, forward proxy, or turn proxy. So in my past several years experience, I see my majority customers using in a reverse proxy environment. But also there's quite a few customers using forward proxy environment. But I don't see any PMRs about transparent proxy lot. So cutting proxy supports HTTP 1.1 compliant and FTP. Gopher, you know, I don't see anybody open any PMRs with Gopher protocol at all. So with cutting proxy supports both memory cutting and raw disk cutting. So in the following later, I will talk more about cutting. So with the cutting proxy, you can configure cutting proxy with some plugin like a policy directory plugin and TEM plugin, that's a Tivoli Access Manager plugin, our dev plugin, and the logo registry, all those a way to improve the security of the network. Let's go to page 12. Page 12 gave us some information about IBM proxy, like root directory and the configure file location. So on Unix, the root directory is under OPT IBM Edge C SAP and server rules, and similar on the Windows. So the configure file is important to know. It's because level 2 always ask ibmproxy.com whenever we have a problem with Caching Proxy. So the location is under CP, ETC, and local. The proxy configure file is called ibmproxy.com. So that's most important file. It holds all the configuration information. So you can compare ibmproxy.com file with httpd.com on IBM HTTP server. That holds all the web server configure information. Let's go to page 13. Caching proxy have several logs. The log location is on the log. The logs directory is on the server root. There are five logs that default logs controlled by directive. They are caching access log, proxy access log, and access log, error log, and event log. So the cache access log, whenever Caching proxy serves the request from local file, then that request will be logged on this cache access log. If the proxy sends the request to backend server, then the request will be logged on proxy access log. If the if the proxy server serve the request from a local, that will log on the access log. And error log, event log give some information about the runtime information such as IBM proxy start, and such information will be logged on the event log. Caching proxy also provides two additional system logs, like stand arrow and stand out. So all those logs are on the logs directory. So it's good to, whenever you run into a problem, it's good to look at the error log, see what problem you run into. Let's go to page 14, please. Configure Caching Proxy server. You have a couple ways to configure a Caching Proxy server. One way is using Configure Wizard. This is only available on Windows right now. Second way is to use admin page. So to use admin page, just in the browser, type http://, the proxy server name, that's admin testbin, wbexec, and frame set, .xtml. And this page is password protect. You have to log on using admin password. The admin page configures good to new user, but it's limited to some directives. So another way to configure is to edit ibmproxy.com. This option is for experienced users. Let's go to page 15. In this page, I list the mapping rules. All those directives you can find those mapping rules from ibmproxy.com file, and you need when you configure which mapping rule you choose. That really depends on what you want to do with the request. For example, the proxy server will proxy the request to backend server, like mapping one URL to another. So in this list, proxy and path mapping are pretty popular. So let's go to page 16, please. So here I list a couple examples for configuring a reverse proxy. So it's that the bottom of this page is forward proxy configure. Working with PMRs, I found a lot of some users still enable the forward proxy when they're using reverse proxy. My recommendation is when you're using reverse proxy configure, you should disable the forward proxy directive, like proxy HTTP colon star, because doing so will enhance your proxy security. From time to time, I got a PMR, a customer report, some security issues. So because they did not disable those forward proxy directives. Let's go to our next page, 17. In this page, I'll give four configure examples. The first bullet is configure virtual host. IBM proxy server support virtual host configure. Here's the first example means the proxy will proxy all the requests to http://foo.linux.org that come in for domain www.host1.com. If you have more virtual hosts, you can add in that order. One point I need to make is if you want to enable SSL on the virtual host, you have to assign unique IP address to each virtual host, because in order to use SSL, you need to configure IP-based virtual host. So all those examples is available from the info center and type proxy admin guest. Let's go to page 18. Typing proxy supports SSL function. So basically, there are three ways to configure SSL when you're using typing proxy. The first is between internet and typing proxy, SSL is enabled. But between typing proxy and the backend server, only use the HTTP protocol. So this is the most popular and easy to configure. So only thing you need to do is to enable SSL from the cutting proxy. The second example is between client and cutting proxy using non-SSL, but some servers in backend with enabled SSL. So the third example is both front-end and back-end, we're using HTTPS protocol. So this way is highly secured, and most time the user run into problem. So when on this configure, so if we run into a problem with this configure, the user should check certificates on typing proxy and certificates on server. Usually, they need to add the server shirt onto cutting proxy. So let's go to page 19, please. Python proxy is shipped with JSK that provides SSL functions. So Python proxy 4.0 and 5.0 shipped with JSK 5.0. From proxy 5.1 to 6.0, JSK 7 will be shipped. If user run into JSK or SSL problem, you need to upgrade the JSK. So all those JSK latest version can be downloaded from this URL. Let's go to page 20. Here shows how to enable SSL on Python proxy. Basically, there are three directives, major directives to work to enable SSL. So one directive called SSL enable should be turned on, and the key ring gives path and a k.kdb file and a current status. So here I need to point out Python proxy only supports KDB file or CMS format of the KStore file. Unlike IBM HTTP server, you only need a KDB, but with the Python proxy, you need both KDB and the stash file. So it's clearly so big, major difference. Other SSL directive like SSL only and SSL certificates, SSL port, and version spec. So with those, you can tune the SSL configure more efficiently and more secure. Let's go to page 21, please. How to enable caching on caching proxy. So there's a couple of directives you need to work with. One, the caching directive needs to be on, and then you decide if you want to use caching disk cache or only memory cache. If you decide to using only memory cache, you just enable the cache memory directive, give a value like 500 meg. The minimum value for caching cache memory is 64 meg. If you give too small, the caching proxy will crash. So typically, memory cache is more suitable for reverse proxy, and the disk cache is working better for forward proxy. So let's go to page 22. Inode configure. This pretty neat feature of the Python proxy. So if you configure IBM Python proxy with your Domino server, so you can access your server mail server from internet in anywhere. So basically, you need to enable several directives and configure several mapping rules and the reverse typing rules. So there's a techno in this URL. You can follow those procedures if you want to configure inode. Go to page 23. To enable tracing. One level to get PMR is sometimes if the problem is not simple or easy to figure out, level two need a Python proxy trace. So here is the procedure how to enable the trace. So namely, basically you need to add a line like trace log, and then give a log name. So you need to start IBM proxy in the way like IBM proxy -mtv -debug in the command window. So then we create the problem. So after the problem is recreated, then Control-C to stop the practice server. Then you tar all the files on the logs directory, send us the logs and also ibmproxy.com file. So let's go to page 24. So here's the example on Windows to enable having proxy trees. I'll see you later in a demo on how to enable having proxy trees. Let's go to page 25. Another way to enable having proxy trees is from the GUI. So for example, you tap http://your proxy server name :80 and / usage and frames. Then you select R trees on left panel, fill out forms, then put a file name on, for example, /tmp/trees, then select all, or check individual module what you like, and also select make sold button, restart IBM proxy, and recreate the problem. Let's go to page 26. This page is mentioned enable the trees from admin GUI. So you can input a log name under trees log and check select all. Then under the bottom with no sold here is select make sold. That will enable the trees. So let's go to page 27. In this page, I list some steps to determine proxy problem. The first thing you need to make sure the operating system and the OS level is supported with the caching proxy. Then you need to tell us what the proxy, for example, forward proxy or reverse proxy you configure. Then most important, we need to know the caching proxy version. So here's the command on different platform to check version of caching proxy. So underneath this URL, give a tech note that's of the MapGather tech note about caching proxy. Let's go to page 28. Caching problem. Sometimes I receive a lot of PMRs about caching. So some problems is because caching proxy does not cache. So we should know some files is not cached. For example, the caching proxy only cache those files like get on post of put, but other files are not cached. Also, any document require authentication will not be cached unless we are using some directive like aggressive caching, so we'll cache it. To troubleshoot caching proxy problem, you can collect caching proxy trees to look see if there's a cache control header. If you see cache control header no cache or programmer no cache headers, that means that file supports not cache. Let's go to next page. Additional information about the WebSphere product. To discover the latest trend in WebSphere technology and implementation, participate in technology focus briefing, webcast, and product. You can visit that URL. To learn more other upcoming webcast, conference, and events, you can go to that URL. To join the global WebSphere user group community, visit www.websphere.org. To access key product show me demos and tutorials by visiting IBM Education Assistant, IBM.com, Software Info Education Assistant. To learn more about electronic service request to for some meetings, TMRs, you can visit that page. To sign up to receive weekly technical support emails, you can go to ibm.com software support eainfo.xml. That's about my presentation. I will turn over to Christy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jim, for a great presentation. Right now, we would like to conduct a short poll. Questions will appear in the e-meeting, and your participation is greatly appreciated. The first question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes how you feel about this statement. The information presented today was useful to me. Please enter 1 if you strongly agree, 2 if you agree, 3 for neutral, 4 if you disagree, and 5 if you strongly disagree. The second question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes how you feel about this statement. The material was well organized and clearly presented. Please answer 1 if you strongly agree, 2 if you agree, 3 for neutral, 4 if you disagree, and 5 if you strongly disagree. Question 3. Did this call meet your training expectations? Please answer 1 for yes and 2 for no. Next, please provide us with comments to help improve future webcasts. And I'll just pause for a moment to allow everyone to answer. Finally, is there a topic you would like to see scheduled? We welcome any ideas that you may have, and once again, I will pause for a moment to allow everyone to answer. Okay, thanks again for your participation. At this point, Richard, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will turn it over to our presenter now.
And if you'd like to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone at this time. And if you're on a speakerphone, make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star 1 for questions today, and we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone a chance to signal. Our first question comes from Karen Krozak.
Hello. I would like to know fundamentally, what is the difference between a reverse proxy and a forward proxy? What does that mean?
Thank you, Karen. The forward proxy means the proxy in front of your network. So, for example, in your network, we say it's www.abc.com. So all the users in that intranet, www.abc.com, that company's intranet, they are not allowed to access internet without passing the caching proxy. So in other words, the caching proxy we configured as a forward caching proxy. The proxy will get requests from internet, then forward the request to internet, such as Google, Yahoo, whatsoever. So that's a forward proxy. The reverse proxy is the proxy server configured in the front of your backend server. The reverse proxy will receive the request from the internet. So if a user from internet visits your network, they will talk to caching proxy. The caching proxy then talk to backend server. So no matter what your backend server or how many backend server you have, the client doesn't know. The client only knows the caching proxy, the name like www.xyz.com. So that's the difference between forward proxy and reverse proxy.
And did that answer your question, ma'am?
Would it be possible to copy and paste into the same time window, or at least to the presenter, the one of the statements in the proxy.conf file I have, to have them say, oh, this is an example of a reverse proxy because?
Can Karen do that? Or otherwise, maybe you can send me an email, Karen, after the meeting.
I'd like to have the presentation also, if that's possible.
Hi, Karen. The presentation will be available for replay on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site, and you may also access it by going to any IBM.com site and typing 7007529 in the search box.
But the PowerPoint presentation, could that be now?
Yes. Yes, the PDF file will be there, as well as the MP3 file. 7007529. And also, if you do have a question or need further clarification, you can just send an email to Jim. His email address is on the right panel in the attendee list in the e-meeting. He's on, actually, Do Not Disturb there, so you can just see it's Jim Lee. And he'd be happy to answer your question offline.
That would be wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we'll go next to Brian Nipfel.
Hi there.
Hi, Brian.
Question I had was, what's the difference between the Edge server, caching proxy, and TAM with WebSeal? What are the main advantages, disadvantages?
web SEO, let me put this way. The web SEO, to use web SEO, you have to use categories. So, namely, you cannot use only web SEO without categories. So, let me mute one moment. Let me discuss with my colleague here. Okay, Brian?
Yep.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, star one to ask a question today. And it appears we have no further questions at this time. I'll turn it back to Ms. Snyder for any closing remarks.
Hi there. Jim, did you want to answer that question, or would you prefer to answer it offline?
Brian, if you don't mind, I'll answer you later. I will write your email. But if you don't mind, I can just briefly give to you, you know, something like very brief. The web SEO provides highly security than cutting products. But to using web SEO, you have using cutting products. So did that answer your question?
Little bit, because what I wanted to also find out was, like, we're thinking of migrating off of PIM with web SEO to using the Edge server.
Okay. How about drop me a quick email, then I will follow up with you this afternoon.
Okay.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation as well. Remember, a replay of this presentation will be available on the IBM WebSphere Support Technical Exchange within the next day or two. So as I said, that will include the PDF file as well as an MP3 file. So we hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Jim, for presenting today.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude our teleconference for today. We thank you for your participation once again, and you may disconnect at this time.